Part 2. Jack. Jack hesitated outside the door. He'd tried the doctor's room first, and when they weren't there, he'd tried Rose's. Not that he expected she'd done much sleeping there after they'd left him behind. That really only left this room, the one he hadn't been in since he was mortal. Why would she have dragged the doctor to the room the three of them used to share? The knob turned easily under his hand, and the door swung silently. Not that the room's occupants would have noticed if it had squealed like a rusty gate. The doctor paced at the foot of the bed, in the throes of his usual high-volume, high-speed, baffled them with bullshit prattling. Really, truly dead, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. My hearts were breaking, and I couldn't stop working because the Daleks were almost there. All I could do was try to console myself that you, at least, weren't anywhere near there. And then you came back. And then he was alive again, so glaringly, terrifyingly alive, that all I could do was run. Rose's eyes were all for the doctor, who didn't even look up as Jack entered and closed the door behind him. She said, "And you were going to tell him this when? You left him on a damaged space station, with no idea if the air or the gravity was going to hold out and no clue if he could get off it. You let him think we didn't care enough to make sure he was dead before we left, or even to come back and get his body." Jack knew he ought to break in, to make sure she knew he was there, but he was really genuinely curious. He'd never known what line the doctor had sold to Rose to keep her from insisting they go back for him. Whatever it was, it sounded like she'd had no illusions about the state of the game station when they left it. "But I've told him now. We traveled to the end of the universe and saved the last few humans together, poor bastards. Never got a moment alone until he had to go into a room full of stet radiation to get the propulsive footprint working. But then I told him." The doctor tugged his hair into even greater disarray. And Jack hadn't been sure that was possible. "Rose, I really have to go check on Donna." "I'm sure they've got it under control. Now what exactly did you tell Jack?" The cold, rational note in her voice trembled, just barely under control. And Jack wondered exactly what kind of hell the doctor would have to pay when he answered. He almost spoke up because this wasn't going to be pretty. But pretty wasn't what they were after. Time-consuming, that's what they were going for. The doctor's eyes drifted past Rose to fasten on Jack's for a moment. When he looked back at her, he was almost subdued. "I told him that he was a fixed point in space and time. I told him that I was a coward, and I ran from him because he was wrong." Jack gave him a half smile. He might always be a little bitter about that, and he'd never be truly at peace with the way the doctor had run from him like he was a monster. But he'd long since forgiven him. "Rose, on the other hand..." She jerked like someone had slapped her. "You told him he was wrong? He was in a room full of radiation, prepared to die for you again if he had to? And don't tell me it wasn't for you," she said as the doctor opened his mouth to interrupt. "You wouldn't have been with him if it wasn't your idea, and he's Jack. If it was your idea, he was doing it for you, and you told him he was wrong?" Her hands were clenched at her sides, and she got to her feet. "How dare you! Do you have any idea how that must have hurt? I've known two different versions of you now, and you've never been so hateful to anyone. How could you do that to Jack?" Jack's heart tightened in the best possible way. They'd been moving so fast ever since they met again in the middle of a Dalek invasion. They hadn't had the chance to talk, but he'd worried, really worried, that she no longer felt for him the way he still felt for her. But that note in her voice laid all his fears to rest. She wasn't just buying time, and she wasn't asking for the sake of old friendship and a distant affection from a time when she had been so much younger in so many ways than the woman standing before him. She still loved him. The doctor stared at her wordlessly. After seconds of silence that felt more like hours, he turned to Jack in mute appeal. "That was a long time ago, sweetheart, in so many different ways," Jack said. She turned in place with shock in her eyes. "Jack?" "We've come to terms. It wasn't easy." And wasn't that an understatement? The two of them learning how to trust each other again during a year of imprisonment and torture on the Valiant. "But it's good." He glanced at the doctor, who looked vastly relieved. Hopefully, that didn't mean he was about to go charging off to look for Donna. Oops. Rose trembled a little, her weight on the balls of her feet, and a look in her eyes that was both joy and fear. Jack opened his arms and wasn't surprised when she almost knocked the breath out of him with her hug. "I missed you," he whispered. After a moment, she leaned her head back to look up at him. "But I still don't understand. You can't die. Fixed point in time and space? What happened to you?" Jack hesitated. He didn't want to tell her. He'd never imagined he'd see her again, and he didn't want to lie to her, but part of him really didn't want her to know. He wasn't sure what would hurt more, the moment where she thought his immortality was a gift, or the one where she realized it wasn't and blamed herself. He bent to kiss her forehead, and she frowned, tilting her head back and dragging him down for a proper snog. The doctor's trainers didn't make much noise on the deck, but Jack had been more than half expecting him to make a break for the console room. He looked sideways at the fleeing Time Lord, and when that wasn't effective, broke away from Rose to say, "Doctor, I think you'd better answer that." The doctor stopped, caught. Rose turned to look at him, and whatever she saw in his face, it made her bite her lip. "Doctor, what is it you don't want to tell me?" The doctor slumped, completely derailed. Rose took his hand, even as Jack pushed her gently back toward the bed. Jack sat, taking Rose with him, and the doctor crouched in front of her, looking awkwardly at her fingers where they were twined with his. "Rose," he said, "how much do you remember about coming back to the game station?" Mickey. Two doctors. And from what Mickey could tell, they were using Rose one against the other. It made him angry. But with the look on Rose's face when she dragged Brownsuit down the hall with her, it was the doctor he should have been worried for. Not that that stopped him worrying about Rose. He'd been doing it so long, he was practically a professional. In fact, maybe he should think about branching out. Mickey Smith, Torchwood Field Support at Large and Professional Worrier. Donna was in a bad way, and Mickey might only have just met her, but apparently that was no barrier to worrying. She kept trying to keep up a running monologue for Jackie, who was helping her with some bit of wiring. But it was like Mickey's grand old turntable. Sometimes she just got stuck. She'd repeat words, or start going off into rhyming words, and every time she did, Blue Suit looked more worried. "Fellspoon, apparently it's got mountains that sway in the breeze. Can you imagine?" "How close, Mickey?" Blue Suit asked in a low voice. Mickey read the depth of the cladding. "Still only at 3.5 millimeters, he said. "And Donna's still wiring." "Nah, never mind Fellspoon. Know who I'd like to meet? Charlie Chaplin. I bet he's great, Charlie Chaplin. Shall we do that? No, of course not. You're going home to your husband. But wouldn't he be brilliant, Charlie Chaplin, Charlie Chester, Charlie Brown? No, he's fiction, friction, fiction, fixing." "Doctor," Martha said urgently, never looking up from the equipment she was monitoring. "Mixing Rickson Brixton." Blue Suit slammed a connection into place and grabbed the fittings. Mickey still had no idea what they were, but he could tell they were meant to slot into that other piece, out of Mickey's hands. "No time. We'll just have to go like this. If we can get her stabilized, we can finish the cladding and make a second pass for a better neural conversion." "If?" Mickey asked. "What do you mean, if?" "Martha, Jackie, I need you to hold her up for a minute," Blue Suit said, fitting bits and bobs together like they were a puzzle parts and slipping between Donna and her project as she slumped against Jackie. "Mickey, hold her," Martha said. "I need to keep monitoring." Why is it that everyone else gets to give orders except me? But he was already in motion anyway, grabbing hold of Donna's pale, sweating frame as she staggered and nearly took Jackie over. "Easy there," he said. "You just stay with us. The doctor'll have you right again in a flash." On her other side, Jackie gave him a frantic look. "Mickey, what's happening to her?" Mickey hesitated. "I think her brain is melting." Jackie gave a horrified look to the woman still muttering between them. "Her human body's not coping with the Time Lord mind she's got dumped into her head. Her temperature just keeps climbing," Martha said, still looking at her screen. "Doctor, you've got maybe 90 seconds before there's irreparable damage." "Sorted," the doctor proclaimed, stepping away from the machine that hung from the ceiling and taking hold of Donna's shoulders to tug her toward it. "Come on now, Donna, two steps forward. You can do this. I know you can." Donna stumbled forward, shaking off Mickey and Jackie's help. "Oi, I'm not an idiot. I'm just a bit in need of a heatsink." She let Blue Suit help fit the creepy headgear in place, though. 30 seconds, Doctor, Martha said. Blue Suit gave Donna an encouraging smile and stepped away. Mickey never saw him start the stupid thing, but he messed up because all of a sudden there was a blue light and Donna was shaking, a muffled squeal of pain coming through her clenched jaw. Jackie clutched at Mickey's arm and he put his hand over hers. It was horrible to watch, even though Mickey knew that the doctor knew what he was doing, so it would come out all right. It always did for the doctor. Well, most of the time. Donna's knees buckled, and she started to fall. Mickey reached for her reflexively, but, "Donna!" Blue Suit shouted, knocking Mickey out of the way and grabbing her about the ribs to hold her up. Blue light crackled and arced between them, and they both screamed. Rose. "I did it?" The doctor nodded, his eyes gone deep and serious the way they sometimes could. "You, the TARDIS, some combination of the two. Call it the Bad Wolf if you like." She did it. She'd held godlike power in her little ape brain and brought Jack back to life, and made that life a living hell. Rose didn't know if she wanted to laugh, or cry, or throw up, and the edges of her vision swam alarmingly. Jack murmured something that was probably meant to be soothing and drew her back to lean against his chest. Whether the leaning helped or whether it was just his tangible presence, still loving her after all she'd done to him, she found the world steadying beneath her and her breath coming more easily. "I'm sorry," she murmured. "I mean, I'm not sorry I brought you back, but I never meant you to have to go through that." Jack squeezed her tight. "Do you have any idea how amazing it is to know that someone cared about me that way? It may not always have been a picnic, Rose, but I've been so glad to know that you loved me too much to let me die." Rose studied the doctor's face. "I really did try to give us forever, and you didn't want me to know." She swallowed. "Not that I blame you. And it may not be true for me, but at least Jack really does have forever, so you two will both always have someone." He looked away, and Jack didn't say anything. Rose frowned. "Wait a minute. You'll always be there for each other, right? Even after... I mean, someday, when I'm gone? We're back together now, and I know Jack has his team to look after. But we can still travel together. Split the difference?" She felt Jack tense beneath her and straightened up so she could turn and look at him. "How do you know about my team?" he asked. Rose blinked and tried not to think how many times she'd seen Tosh and Owen die. "The subnet network?" she said. "Wilf said Sylvia wouldn't let him have a webcam, but I could still see you. You just couldn't see me." "How did you know where to find Donna's house?" the doctor asked. The last thing Rose wanted was to get too deeply into that. Well, second to last. If she had to let him yell at her to buy time, she would. She ignored him, still looking at Jack. "And self-striving got much better since you traveled with him the first time. You could spend time with us, and he could take you back 5 minutes later, and we could skip forward and pick you up in a couple of weeks or months." She forced herself to grin. "I saw that look Yanto gave you. I know we can't just keep you to ourselves, Jack, but..." "Oi!" the doctor said. "Don't I get a say in this?" She turned to look at him. "I don't know," she said. "What happened between you two that you haven't been together since Jack found you again?" They both flinched. Jack said, "We both needed some time." The doctor's eyes went very wide. "Time? Donna!" Rose winced. He grabbed suddenly at his head. "Rassilon, what are they doing out there?" He was in motion before Rose even realized it. She sprang to her feet, but Jack had the same idea at the same moment, and they ended up in a tangled heap on the deck. By the time they got up again, the doctor was halfway down the main corridor. The Doctor, Donna. My head was killing me. I was standing in the TARDIS's console room, trying not to die. No, I was standing in the TARDIS's console room, putting doomed Gallifrey into its eternal prison, as it burned and hoping that I would die too. No, that's the past. Focus on now. Focus on not dying. Focus on not losing myself. I am the master of my fate. Pain. Well, what did we expect from revising our own neural architecture? Only, it wasn't supposed to be our neural architecture. This was supposed to be a one-person ride. Some things in life you have to do alone. I was standing at the edge of the untempered schism. The raw potential of the universe swept through me, an inescapable wavefront that made my heart race. One heart. I was meant to have two. I wouldn't let me die. He wouldn't allow it. The frustration of being trapped inside my own head, of knowing that if we weren't fast enough, there was a Time Lord coming to take it all away from me. Well, sod him anyway, who died and made him God. We'd live on our own terms, or not at all. I am the captain of my soul. Only, we were meant to have longer, more time for the neural enhancement, not this haphazard linking of particles in one organism with particles in the other. What I wouldn't do for a little more time, for one less kiss, the chance to say goodbye to Gramps. I was standing in the TARDIS's console room. We were. We were meant to be brilliant. We always were. Brilliant, I mean. Even if I didn't always notice. I was meant to be twins. Jackie. If the doctor, the other doctor, she supposed, hadn't grabbed for Donna, she would have fallen. Between the two of them, they were doing an okay job standing upright. But they screamed like they were in horrible pain. Jackie took a step toward them, even though she had no idea what she could do for them. But she felt Mickey pulling on her arm to keep her back. "Is this normal?" she asked, looking back at him. Mickey shrugged, his eyes wide with worry. "Your guess is as good as mine." "Her core temperature is still rising, but more slowly," Martha said, reading something off what looked for all the world like an oversized tele-remote. "And what's happening to his brain? I've never seen anything like it. Not human or Time Lord." "What does it look like?" The doctor's voice came from the side of the room, as much as this room had sides, anyway. He, the doctor, the proper doctor, pelted out of the depths of the TARDIS at top speed. "Martha, what do those readings say?" He rushed over to the panel of the machine with the headset, stabbing at buttons before she even had a chance to answer him. The handsome fella in the braces, Jack, Rose had called him, came out of the same hallway, looked, and stopped like he'd hit a brick wall, growling with frustration. Rose was right behind him, and nearly bowled him over, she had to stop so fast. "Doctor!" she shouted. Something terrible was happening right in front of Jackie's eyes, and there wasn't a thing she could do about it but Rose. Rose understood. Rose had a role here, and a purpose. All Jackie could do was stand on the sidelines and watch her first baby be not a baby anymore. She didn't think the doctor even heard Rose, the way he and Martha were trading information back and forth. He tugged his hair straight up with one hand, babbling to himself. "Needs to become isothermal. This was never going to accomplish that. It's all half-done rubbish. Oh, why didn't they call me?" A shower of sparks went up from the machine, and he went back to poking frantically at the panel. Rose winced, and Jack put his arm around her. She leaned into him, all trust and dismay at the scene before her, and he drew her over to stand in front of him, wrapping both arms around her middle as they watched the doctors together. Both arms around her, like he had every right to hold her, and she didn't say a word. Oh, God! Jackie knew Rose was in love with an alien. She tried hard not to think about just how alien he might be and where. So why was this other bloke holding her daughter like a lover? The Doctor. It was like watching two galaxies collide. The pair of them passing through each other, almost untouched, until you noticed the gravitic distortion of the discs. Martha read off the bioscan details, a steady, dependable stream of information, while the doctor searched for some solution, any solution, to this ridiculous problem the two halves of the metacrisis had just dropped into his lap. It would have been so much safer just to block Donna's memories. She would never have forgiven him, not that she'd have known, but she'd have been safe. No matter what else happened, he'd always have known that his best mate was safe. The doctor made another adjustment. Every time he started to make headway against the neural entanglement, Donna's temperature started rising again. She was human. A single heart was bad enough, but a resting core temperature of 37 degrees Celsius, though it looked like they'd used the chameleon arch to manage a minor modification. Call it 30 degrees Celsius on a guess, not that it was easy to tell with her brain overheating, was never going to support the kind of neural processing a Time Lord did as a matter of course. "I can't do it. It just can't be done. I could save him, but not her. I can't separate them." "Separate them?" Martha's question hung in the air. So don't. Rose's voice washed over him like a warm, fresh breeze in a stale room. Just save them. Could he do that? If he worked from a baseline of irrevocable neural entanglement, partial processing across both brains, could he achieve stability? Doctor, Martha said, whatever's happening to them, will it kill them or leave Donna a vegetable? His fingers flew over the instruments, reversing the polarity of the subspace energetic feed. No, but they'll never forgive me. I don't know why that should matter. Donna was never going to forgive me anyway, but it does. Then I'm with Rose on this one, Martha said. At least they'll be alive to hate you. Jack's comment was very quiet, but he cut right to the core of the issue. It was remarkably easy once the doctor stopped trying to maintain two separate sets of neural pathways, concentrating instead on stabilizing the entanglement as if the pair of them were a single entity. He listened to Martha with half an ear as her scanner told a tale of decreasing cranial inflammation, a reasonable core temperature, and an increase in neural activity in his duplicate that made no sense unless you were tracking the information from both of them at the same time. Well, his own voice said from off to the side, that's a right kick in the trousers, isn't it? The doctor looked up in time to see Donna grin an unfamiliar grin and say, oh yes, we knew that pattern wasn't complete yet, and now... It is, the duplicate doctor finished seamlessly. The doctor stared at them. Oh, that is so wrong. Oi, enough with the wrong already, Rose said. Wrong? I'll show you wrong. The words gave the doctor just enough time to turn around and see Jackie Tyler approaching, but not enough to escape the flat of her hands connecting with his face. All that time, my daughter was traveling with you, and I trusted you with her. And you were out there corrupting her! Jackie. The doctor rubbed his cheek and gave her a blank look. Oh, and didn't that just figure? No wonder Rose had never brought Jack home while they were traveling together. And to think, Jackie had thought Mickey was being ridiculous when he'd come home from Cardiff talking about the three of them together in that blue box. She turned her back on the alien to look at Rose, who wore a deep blush and an awkward look. Mum, you're embarrassing me. Embarrassing you? This whole time you told me you were trying to get back to your doctor. Never once mentioned the one with his arms around you. You just let me think I was sending you off to something better. Not that my daughter was a... To be fair, Jack interrupted. I prefer to be considered the corrupting influence in any situation. He grinned in a way that probably would have made Jackie blush if she weren't so very angry. And I've never minded being slapped by a pretty woman. Jack, Rose said. Jackie found herself staring, her mouth still open. She shut it abruptly. Rose, you told me there was only one for you, the only one who mattered. Rose shook her head, a look of pain too visceral to be faked on her face. I thought Jack was dead. She put her hands over his where they rested on her ribs, like he might slip away from her somehow if she let go. Universe is saved, cranial meltdown averted. After all that, Jackie, you want to turn this into the Jeremy Kyle show? The proper doctor asked, walking a wide circle around her to go stand beside Rose. Rose took his hand. Jackie stared at them. It's not right, she said. No one answered her. Rose bit her lip and her eyes shone with oncoming tears. But it wasn't right, not the three of them. Jackie Tyler, Donna said thoughtfully, makes brilliant tea. Jackie, the other doctor said, we might only be a few hours old, but we remember 904 years. And we remember that love is too precious to walk away from it. Jackie's throat tightened a little. Donna asked, what did you name the baby? Tony. Jackie's answer was automatic. The other doctor said, Tony. Good name. Pete and Jackie, Rose and Tony, all together. He was going to send her back with you, you know. Jackie flinched. After all the trouble she went through to get back to him? She glared at the proper doctor. Rose wiped the corners of her eyes. Wouldn't have worked. I would never have stayed. She looked up at the proper doctor. He opened his mouth to say something, but Rose cut him off. Why would you try to leave me? You ought to be with your family, he said. I wasn't going to leave you alone. I'd thought that he nodded at the other doctor, would stay with you. One heart, no regenerating. Rose stepped out of Jack's arms, her eyes never leaving the proper doctor's face. You were really going to do that? He nodded. She slapped him. The corners of Jackie's mouth twitched as she started to smile in spite of herself. Ow! The same cheek! Why is it always the same cheek? Because they haven't had enough practice left-handed, Jack said cheerfully. But if you keep this up, I'm sure they will. Quit complaining. I've got plenty of practice, and you were going to dump Rose off in another universe without even letting me say goodbye. Just what part of love means you get to make decisions for us? Love, Donna's voice said quietly, very near Jackie's ear. Jackie glanced over her shoulder and found Donna and the other doctor staring at her with identical compassionate expressions. It was creepy. If it's precious wherever you find it, she's twice as lucky to have both of them, yeah? Jackie swallowed. I just wanted her to be happy. I had Pete and her and Tony, and she was always miserable. She'll be very happy, the other doctor said. Well, I'm not that easy to get rid of, Rose said sharply. You're stuck with me, Doctor. Stuck with the both of us. Jackie rolled her eyes. Yeah, it sure sounds like it. They grinned at the same time, the other doctor and Donna, like the same muscles moved in their faces. We're sure of it, they said. The twins. It had been so strange, having only one heart. Somehow, off balance. Two heartbeats, even if they came with four hands, was much better. All right, first stop Pete's world, he said, while we both flipped levers. This was going to take some getting used to, said. And no time to waste. The walls of the worlds are closing again. Can't have dimensional retroclosure with Jackie and Mickey still in this universe. Behind us, we heard Jackie's low, intense voice. Now you swear to me you'll keep her safe. Both of you. The Time Lord was protesting. Jackie, I don't know if traveling with me will ever be safe. Still feeling guilty, then. Not that that really surprised us. We were only too glad to feel shut of that guilt ourselves. Fortunately, Jack had this one figured out. We'll take care of her, always, and coming from us, that's a very long time. When we landed, Rose wouldn't leave the ship. Jackie probably never noticed, but we remembered Rose as a companion and recognized all the small signals. She might love the doctor, but she didn't quite trust him. Not today. I'll miss you, she told Mickey, hugging him. Miss you too, babe, he said, trying to keep his voice low. Like no one could tell how much it hurt to say goodbye if he didn't put much oomph into it. But we'd been lying and seeing through lies for centuries, and we knew that the only thing that would hurt more than saying goodbye to Rose was staying here, knowing that she'd given her heart elsewhere. And you, Rose told her mum, holding her close. I love you, mum, and Pete, and Tony. She was sniffling now. Tell him all about me when he grows up. I wouldn't want him to forget me. We never could, Jackie said, sobbing. When the TARDIS doors closed, Rose gave up on her brave face and cried. We felt this urge to go to her, to comfort her, because she was a companion, and that's what we did with companions. But it wasn't love. We weren't that person anymore. We were different. Maybe better, maybe worse, but definitely not the same. She had the doctor and Jack, one on each side of her, the doctor hugging her and Jack murmuring softly in her ear while he held her. We flew the ship with one body, the other walking over to Martha, where she sat on the captain's chair looking lost. So when's the wedding? I asked, and it was strange suddenly to be alone in my own head, remembering how important things like engagements and anniversaries and babies were, while the rest of him and me sent the TARDIS hurtling through the vortex. She looked blank for a moment, like she hadn't quite kept up. Then she smiled. July, she said. And are we going to be invited? Of course, as long as I can reach you. It's not like there's a mailing address. I rolled my eyes. Oi! Still have a phone, don't I? Mind you, I expect we'll all be traveling together for a time while we grow, well, build, actually, a second TARDIS. She blinked. You can do that? I grinned. Oh, yes, growing is the easy part. Time machine and all. It'll take a little building to get her all ship-shape, but he and I have a whole lot of exploring of the universe yet to do. We're not going to be tied to himself in this pair. Could you see it? Somebody'd shout, "Doctor," and half the ship would look up. She laughed. I hate to think what kind of arguments you're going to have with yourself in the meantime, she said. We groaned. That makes three of us. He said. Martha looked from one to the other of us, her eyes dark and concerned. Donna, are you okay? I mean, we didn't see any other way, but watching the two of you not be exactly two of you, it's... I don't even have the words for what it is. We wanted to reassure her, to tell her that we were both okay, but we weren't even sure both still applied to us. All we really knew was that we felt complete now, whole in a way we hadn't felt since the metacrisis, or maybe ever. We looked off into space through two sets of eyes, considering. The universe was still huge and mad and at our fingertips. Maybe we could take Gramps with us for a couple of short hops. He'd always looked up at the stars. We could actually take him out to see a few. It would be brilliant, and so would we. We'd see to it. We found ourselves smiling. I was meant to be twins, you know, we said with Donna's lips. Wonder how that would have worked out. Seems like Mum had enough trouble with just one kid. Can you imagine her with two? No real reason. Just everybody thought for sure she was pregnant with twins. Fin.